Welcome to I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here, a weekly audio blog from Jigsaw PSPH. This week... Let's take a journey to a garden in Fry and Barnet sometime in the late 1960s and... the sound of my football flying straight through the bedroom window. It was April and I'd only had it for a week, a present from Grandad. Understandably, in those days when a clip round the ear was on the register for naughty school kids, I feared the worst. But Dad took another view. Right, he said, you're not having the ball anymore, as he confiscated my pride and joy. A few days of weeping and wailing later, he appeared with my football under his arm. OK, son, you've learnt your lesson now. In future, though, there'll be no football in the garden. But if you promise to only play with it in the park, I'll give you your ball back. An offer I couldn't refuse. Too intent on racing down the road, dreaming of scoring the winner at Underhill, I didn't realise what a good bit of behavioural science that was. To be fair, Dad probably didn't either. He and Grandad would have said it's just common sense. So what was the point of all that reminiscing? Well, one of the government's mantras for public health has been the nudge. Thankfully, not in this way.
Say no more!
But in a more subtle way to move unhealthy behaviours back in the right direction. As demonstrated by the incident of the flying football in the garden, let's make a note of that, make a good book title, that would. And rather like Sir Alf's Wingless Wonders, you need a mix of tactics to be successful. On occasions, a short, sharp shock is still the best recipe, providing it's then followed by a solution. This week, Salford Council announced their proposals to ban chips during school hours. Well, that's how the media read it anyway, although the popular press sadly missed out on the obvious Goodbye Mr. Chips headline. But I digress. Using planning legislation, Salford want to stop new takeaways near schools serving hot food during school hours. That raises a number of issues. The first being, does that mean anything cold, full of saturated fat, salt and sugar is still okay? And what happens when the schools kick out and there's a bunch of screaming kids at the door crying for their fat fix? Laudable as the idea is, the good councillors have not really thought this one through. It would have been like my dad saying, I'm banning you playing in the garden until 6 o'clock every night, and me smashing the window again at 5 past. The problem also is that most of these initiatives have a brand new customers only clause, which means existing businesses are ineffective until they move away, which in this case is somewhat unlikely, as all the kids will pile into their old haunt to get their chips, meaning the new takeaway across the road is immediately in trouble. Back in the 60s, Dad's common sense carried him through. Maybe we need to adopt it again, this time as a science. Recently, a friend took up a new post as the primary authority liaison officer dealing with a large supermarket chain. At the time, we joked he wouldn't know what hit him for the first few months, that they'd have him working on the tills as a back-to-the-floor exercise. He took it in good heart. Well, he could see that little bit of doubt creeping in as he went home to study the small print in his contract. Well, this week, I've read a couple of excellent blogs on the concept of getting managers back to the floor to see what it's really like. Follows the suggestion a few weeks ago that senior NHS staff should work as healthcare assistants. It does seem that those people who come up through an organisation have a much better grasp of how to get the best out of it, as opposed to those who are brought straight in at a high level. Most local government officers have their views about elected members. Careful at the back, it's a family show. But during my time, I found that good ones really enjoyed going out and seeing what things were like on the sharp end. I also think the opposite is true, and that frontline officers would benefit from knowing more about the pressures being faced higher up the tree if they were let into that world as well. A story we covered a couple of months ago now on the thorny issue of banning smoking in cars when children are passengers. Scottish Liberal MSP Ian Hume is now consulting on a private members bill to change the law north of the border. Mr Hume has been raising awareness of research done by the University of Aberdeen that found that the atmosphere in a car, even with the windows open when the driver was smoking, breached WHO indoor air quality limits. It's hard to disagree with the sentiment behind the move, but I still can't see how it's going to be enforced or who by. Hands up all those who saw a motorist on a mobile today. also against the law, Nuff said. Perhaps this is one for the social pressure and a nudge like those administered in ice hockey in order to get people moving in the right direction. Now, I really must stop playing devil's advocate with government quangos. Bet no one's ever had to write that on the board 100 times. But really, when corresponding with experts, the least you expect is for them to be expert on their own subject. It all started when the Food Standards Agency put a message out on Twitter celebrating the fact that one of the biggest retail chains in the country had got a 4-star food hygiene rating score for one of its branches. OK, I'll admit the schoolboy in me came out a bit as I politely replied that as the company had a multi-billion pound turnover, you'd expect 5 stars all the way. Their reply treated me to the start of an in-depth explanation of how the system works. My query was that government policy is for larger retailers who show consistently high standards to have far fewer inspections, or earned autonomy as they call it. So is 4 stars for a multi-billion pound company considered a high enough standard to let them effectively police themselves? I got back another patronising explanation of how the system worked. It went on until I had to refer them to a copy of one of their own documents so they could work out exactly what I was talking about. Funnily enough, it went all quiet after that. 2 things. If professional bodies are going to get involved in social media, make sure you have professionals with an in-depth knowledge of the subject sending the messages. And 2, always check who you're talking to. Oh, what? Listening? Now? Her Majesty. Finally, it's a big week for Jigsaw coming up as we move house. Well, on the web anyway. No removal men for us, just a short stroll to www.rhenvironmental.co.uk, where we'll be running a brand new public health forum and hosting the Jigsaw blog. Thanks to Rob, John, David and the team for making it all possible. Don't forget to pop in for a chat, but I'm afraid there won't be any chips. See you next week. I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here is written, produced and presented by Pete Hill for Jigsaw PSPH. The views expressed are personal and do not relate to any other body. For the latest news, follow @JigsawPSPH on Twitter. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.